are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Are you going to get to the chorus here for us, Dino?
Yeah, it's coming right now. Here we go. Sing it for me, Olivia.
That's right. We want to see him get physical this Sunday. The Browns and the Titans, Olivia, Newton, John. Let's get physical. All right, let's hear from the head coach, the offensive coordinator, of the Cleveland Browns now, John DeFilippo, about how this offensive line needs to get physical.
Good to see everybody. It was great to get back on the field yesterday, you know, after a tough game on Sunday. You know, you really don't, the feeling really doesn't leave you until you really get back on the field and start working again towards another opponent. So it was great to get back on the field yesterday. You know, I was pleased with the way our offense played in the first half. You know, obviously a 19-play drive to open our season unfortunately resulted in no points, a turnover, and losing our starting quarterback. So, but that's part of the NFL. You need to adjust, and those are the things that happen in the NFL that you need to be ready for. The second half, I felt, just kind of snowballed on us a little bit. You know, whenever you put the team in harm's way like we did three times, that's not a good thing, obviously. We can't do that. We can't put the team in harm's way like we did. But, you know, we're on to this week's mentality. You know, on to next week. As I told our players this morning, it's the most important game of our season because it's the next game, and that's the only reason. It's our next game. That's why it's the most important game of our season. So that's the approach we're going to take each week. It's going to be great to be in front of our home fans this week. Really excited to be a part of the Browns in this atmosphere. You know, I've been here as an opponent a few times and really looking forward to playing well in front of our home crowd.
When you say harm's way, you're talking about Manziel's pick and Manziel's two fumbles.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that include McCown's fumble?
Yeah, I think those are two different situations. You know, I could see where you would group those together. When I say in harm's way, you know, given their offense, short fields is more, you know, what I'm talking about. And, you know, unfortunately, even after McCown's fumble, instead of the ball being on the 20, which is a best-case scenario in a bad situation, you know, we got a personal foul and put the ball in the 35. So, you know, it went from, you know, was he in to the ball being to the other team on the 35-yard line. So I would equate the turnovers. Josh was trying to make a play, which I think a majority of the quarterbacks in that situation would do. If that play would have happened at the plus 40, you would have seen me really, really upset.
No, but was that a mistake? I mean, the result of it was that he took your starting quarterback out of the game, and now you're with a guy who didn't have
reps. I think any time that you're trying to make a play and score a touchdown, I think the last thing that crosses your mind as a competitor is that I'm going to get injured. And Josh was trying to make a play for our team, and you know, it would have put us up 7-0, obviously, on our first drive of the season. And it's been a mantra of our offense to start fast, and for the majority of the time this year so far we have. And unfortunately, he got hurt.
In your day, preseason game, when there was so much emphasis on don't take chances, we need you, isn't 3 points and the count in the game for the rest of the game more important than taking that chance?
Yeah, I just, in the heat of the battle, I mean, if in the heat of the battle, you don't think about those things. I mean, you see the goal line. I mean, you see, those are the times that the majority of the quarterbacks in this league, when they get their rushing yards, are in the red zone. They really are. I mean, if you broke it down, Aaron Rodgers and those guys that take off and run, I would say the majority of their yards come in the red zone. So, you know, I'm not going to take away Josh's competitiveness from him. Obviously, we would have loved if he would have stayed in the game. He's our starting quarterback, but that's the NFL for you.
When you design the game plan this week, I mean, it just seems like Manziel and McCown are not similar enough that it doesn't matter who's in there. How do you think?
I wouldn't go that far to say they're not similar enough. I think they have enough of the same qualities to where you can still run a lot of your base offense and still with a few wrinkles if you have to make an adjustment. We did not change the game plan one bit when Johnny went in the game. And to me, that's a credit to him. He hasn't, because of a combination of things, his elbow, him being the number two quarterback. He hadn't gotten a lot of reps in the past month, in the past 3 weeks about. So it's a credit to him, to the way he went in there and threw the football. Obviously, the turnovers were disappointing, but, I mean, he threw some good balls in there.
How has Josh McCown seemed to you all week as you've been spending time with him, and do you have kind of a gut feeling on which way this might go?
I don't. I don't have a gut feeling. I'll be honest with you. I try to stay out of the medical things and just listen when it comes to the medical part of the deal. Josh, I mean, I don't notice any change in Josh. I mean, he's been in the meetings. He's been attentive. He's been himself. So, but again, I kind of, when it comes to the medical, I just kind of take a back seat and listen to the doctors.
Having coached in the college game and you've seen the influence the spread has had,
mm-hmm.
obviously Johnny was a spread, Mariota was a spread. Going forward, where do you see this going with so many of these kids coming up? Is the NFL going to have to change a little bit, or are these guys going to have to continue to be pounded into the NFL system?
Yeah, I want to give it a few more years and see. I do think, though, that's why you're seeing some of these quarterbacks, the older, when I say older, I mean the early to mid to late 30s guys, hang around as long as they do and have long careers, is because quarterbacks nowadays are hard to come by, as are fullbacks and tight ends, because of the spread offense. So yes, I think I'm going to wait another couple of years, because football is like anything, it comes and goes, like it's like fashion, it kind of comes and goes. So I would anticipate at some point the drop back style coming back into the college game.
John, what has to be better for you guys to get what you want out of it?
Yeah, a couple things. First thing is we need to be more physical at the point of attack. That's without question. We need to be more physical at the point of attack. We need to be disciplined in our tracks at the running back position. So those are the two glaring things to me that we need to be a little bit more consistent at. Those are two things that we've been stressing to our players all week, and we'll see where it goes on Sunday. But I know we'll run the ball better Sunday.
Manziel with the starters 2 days in a row. Mm-hmm. Today will be a second. Comes off a game when he had 3 turnovers in his second season. And Mariota comes off his first game when he set records for 4 touchdowns in half, which leads to questions from us and also from fans. What's missing with Manziel and Mariota?
Well, there's one thing I never do. I never compare players, because each person's situation is different. Each person's different. I can tell you this. From going back, obviously the turnovers part of it we have to cut out. There's no doubt about it. I'll be the first one to admit that. But if you didn't notice a change in Johnny Manziel from last year to this year, then I don't know. I mean, I saw him going through his progressions. Did he take off and run when Elaine was there? Yeah. Did we get down and was he trying to do a little bit too much at times? Probably. And I think that just comes with the maturation of understanding, situational football. You can't get 2 scores back on 1 drive. And I think the more he plays and the more he learns those things, is the better he'll get.
Does he look like a guy who could eventually be a quality starter?
Yes.
What is it about him that would make you say yes on him?
I think he's got a tremendous amount of physical traits. I mean, Johnny, losing these last 3 weeks of practice, he didn't drop off from a level of accuracy, footwork, those things that a lot of young quarterbacks do. Johnny's got tremendous physical attributes. And we just got to keep grooming him and keep teaching him situational football and when to take chances and when not to.
Hey, John, maybe this is a better question for someone else, but when you see critics of Johnny, like Boomer Esiason, or I know Merrill Hodge, has already come out this week and said that the Browns need to cut bait with him, but he's never going to be good. What do you say to this?
I'll be honest with you. I leave this building at about 1:32. I don't listen to those people. I don't listen to the noise. I really don't have a comment for what other people say or think. I really don't care.
John, you need to get the running game going and get the offensive line better at the point of attack. Is it more challenging because of the change in that room with the offensive line coach
I have all the faith in the world in George DeLeon. George DeLeon has forgotten more football than I know. He's coached every position pretty much on offense and defense. I have all the faith in the world in George, and I'm very thankful he's here. He's done a great job in the transition that he's had to make. And so is our whole offensive staff. Our whole offense, whenever you lose somebody, it goes on everybody's plate. It's like when you lose a player. I mean, there's more reps to go around for each player. So I'm really, really proud of the way our coaching staff has handled this thing, and Andy's part of our family, and we're thinking about him every day, and we're in touch with him, and we love him.
How about Dwayne Bowe? Do you think he'll be more ready to go this week, possibly?
I'll tell you, Dwayne looked a lot better yesterday at practice. He really did. I think it's coming along. I still wouldn't say Dwayne's 100% yet, but there's no doubt he's getting better. There's no doubt he's getting better, and he's on the upward curve.
How much is missing in your offense when you don't have him?
I think I wouldn't say from a play standpoint anything's missing, but from a presence standpoint, there's some things missing. And when I say a presence standpoint, I mean, we don't have another body type like that outside. We just don't have that. And our other players out there have different skill sets than Dwayne has. But I think whenever you have that physical skill set from being a tall, big person like Dwayne is, I think anytime, I mean, a DB has to take notice of that he's going to get bodied up.
Are you looking forward to matching wits against a Dick LeBeau, great Orton-led defense?
Yeah, and I have I've had a ton of respect for both those guys throughout my career. I've competed against them, obviously never as a coordinator, but as a position coach. And you got to give them a ton of credit for the amount of discipline that their defenses play with. The new wrinkles that you'll see, we'll see something we haven't seen before. There's no doubt about it. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for both those guys. Yeah, I mean, we tried to get the first play of the game. The ball was designed to go to Duke. And he ran a swing pass, and Antonio Cromartie got width. We thought they were going to come out in man coverage. They came out in zone coverage, and Cromartie got width with him. We were going to throw him a swing pass on the first play of the game just to get him going. And, you know, we ended up going to the second progression to the corner route. But, you know, I saw Duke not make any mental mistakes, which I think really for a first game for a rookie on that stage shows that it's not too big for him. And, you know, as we go along here, we tried to get Duke the football in the pass game a few times. I mean, it's a lot easier said than done to get guys the ball sometimes, you know, outside, because it depends on the coverage, it depends on the blitz, so I have to throw hot. So it's a little bit easier said than done at times to say, hey, I'm just going to go to this guy right here. There's a lot of other factors involved.
I don't want to misinterpret. Is it fair to say you're a little perturbed at criticism and questions about Manziel?
There's no bigger fan of our players than me, especially on offense. And since the day I've gotten here, they have done nothing but buy in, do everything that I've asked them to do. So, yeah, when people criticize our guys, yeah, it does make me a little bit upset. I had not heard Merrill say that. So I had not. That's the first time I've heard it, sitting up on this stage. So I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, we're family here. He will.
Since the draft, he's been on his
case. That happens sometimes. Some guys just have it out for some guys sometimes. But I'm sorry. That's the first I've heard of it.
I like this guy. I hope that he's successful. I hope this offense is successful. I like John DeFilippo a lot as a guy, and I really hope nothing but good things for him. I like that he gets passionate. He's fired up about his guys.
And he defends his guys. It's
and
great.
He called out the offensive line, which is good, too.
Just
he's
like
not
you.
Afraid to call people
you
out.
You and him both.
Me
and every other Browns fan.
That's right. We'll see. We'll be back. Final thoughts here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on this Thursday edition, the official kickoff of week number two.